And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's wild and wonderful. What's going to happen? We have no idea. Let's sit back and enjoy the ride. Can I get a Wowzer Bowser Wednesday? Because God is in charge of this crazy bus called The Christian Journey. First, here we go with some more spoon-fed teaching on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. From prophecy, the gift that makes clear that is the best because it blesses the most, to the discerning of spirits, which we did last week, to the gifts of healing, we venture. We review the definition of these giftings and examine the distinctions between the role of healing among believers and the leaders, and also the gift of healing. Next, it's important to understand that God, according to his word, and let me say that again because I want to make sure nobody misses this. God, according to his word, does not want us to be ignorant regarding spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. But too many people think they are unworthy to operate in any sort of power encounter because they're not an apostle or not holy enough. So just like we did last week, we're going to drop this down the garbage chute right away. Acts chapter 3, verse 12. When Peter saw this, he said, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if we had made this man walk by our own power and godliness?" Anything the Lord does through you, because of you, using you, isn't you. And then finally, we dive into the gifts of healing. We find out that there's specific giftings along with some general commands. Okay. We also come to an amazing knowledge that the gifts of healing are plural, not singular. Do you hear that? That means that there are various aspects to healing. Some are physical, some are not. We also tackle the reality that healing has a great deal to do with spiritual warfare. Say that one more time and then we'll exit. We tackle the reality that healing has a great deal to do with spiritual warfare, just like every spiritual gift that helps advance the kingdom. So buckle up, little campers.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey. Oy vey, David, oy vey, oy, oy. So much more.
That's the voice I was looking for yesterday.
Huh?
That's the voice I was looking for yesterday.
Okay. I mean, this, you guys see, you guys just don't know. I want to take you and put you in my brain so that you can be there at 25570 Catalina Drive when Grandma Selma walks in the door and sees me laying down and says, "Oy vey, Barbara, he's sick because he's not running around." If you could have been there, you'd have just gone, wow, that's quite the upbringing. Anyhow, here's what we're doing. We're asking you, that's right, how would you like to be raised like that? We're bringing it before you. We're asking you, look, if you've got something going on, if you've got a prayer request, if you've got a praise report, this is a great opportunity. It's a great opportunity to have other people combine their faith with yours to petition the Lord. You can't tell me more faith is bad. How could more faith be bad? That'd be absurd. That'd be like the exact contradiction to how we live. And you can't tell me that more people hearing about something that God has done in your life would be bad. It's a fantastic thing because people hear that God is doing things and they recognize that he is active. And that helps them. It helps their faith. It helps their understanding. So if you got something to share, you need a prayer request, you got a praise report, you got something going on, you got a question, we don't have all the answers. God has all the answers, okay? We don't have all the answers. But if we can't get you the answer, we know where to point. We got that going on. So if you've got something you want to do with that, great. In the meantime, we also do Bible trivia, which I have been trying to give people some extra hints in these because they can be a little bit more difficult. Here is the Bible trivia with the hints. Get ready. Which book starts with? Now, it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. I will give you two hints. One, baseball player, and two, a candy bar. Okay. Now that is some good hints.
That was really nice, Dave.
Come on.
Especially that second one.
Yeah.
What are both of them?
Yeah, that's you got to think. Come on. Okay. I'm just going to leave that there. If you guys think you know, you can reach out to us. What do you got to do? You got to, somebody's calling in. You got to call 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483, or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Hold on, let me check. Yep, that is still working. So I have to check it every once in a while, which is kind of sad. Please do not forget to be praying for one another. That's superbly important, as that is the command that the Lord has given us towards one another, in loving one another, in carrying one another's burdens. And today is the last day to be praying for other ministries, because tomorrow we're starting June Buddies. June Buddies. Going to be starting tomorrow. I'll let you know right now. Got a lot of stuff going on, but somebody's ready to answer trivia questions. Send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. You're talking to Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. How you been?
I've been okay. How have you been?
I've had an interesting 2 weeks, but I am coming back.
Oh, good.
I am back there. So I want everybody praying for Deborah. If you want to share it, you can. But if not, we want to be praying for one another, taking care of one another, loving one another. And I love it when you call. So thank you for calling.
Oh, thank you.
All right, here we go. Now, I got to do the whole question and the hints because I took the time to write them. Here we go. Here's the trivia question. All right, which book starts with, now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, a candy bar, and a baseball player. What's the answer?
Ruth.
That is correct, Amundo!
Yeah, those are some good hints.
Yeah, I mean, the candy bar, I think, was not bad, but the baseball player, at that point, as soon as people think of baseball, typically they'll think of, like, Babe Ruth or somebody like that. I mean, that's like,
yeah,
one of the first thing that comes.
Definitely.
It's like, oh, there you go. Excellent job. I have a feeling you probably knew that without the hints, but if not, you certainly did a great job.
I always remember Joshua Judge's Ruth. Those three books.
That's pretty good. That's a great way to do that. That's excellent. Excellent way to do it. So listen.
Okay, well, thank you, and I hope y'all have a good afternoon.
All right, and if you need anything, you let us know. We'll be praying for you, okay?
Thank you so much, and I'll pray for everybody also.
All right, God bless you.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Wonderful to hear from Deborah. Yay.
It's been a while. We got to keep her in prayer, everybody.
Yeah, everybody got to keep praying. You know, if you just pray for one another, again, this isn't brilliance or anything. If you pray for other people will pray for you. You know who coordinates that? God. It's like, okay. If you're going to have somebody on your side, that's probably a good way to do it. All right, let's get into this. I don't want you guys to be freaking out. We're not doing nothing but spiritual gifts on Wednesday, so relax. But I do want you to understand what's going to be taught. And it is really important for us to grasp some of the material that we're going to have a discussion with. So as most of you know, going through the church and in church life over the last, 150, maybe 200 years, and probably even longer than that. There's been quite a few show people, quite a few demonstrations, quite a few promotions on the process of healing. So let's pull it back a little and look at it from a real practical Christian point of view. First of all, in regards to healing, before anybody loses their mind, let's at least understand a very, very basic truth. And that is, all good gifts to the world, all good gifts. Did you notice what I said? All good gifts are from God. So what is a gift to the world? 1 Timothy 5:23, stop drinking only water. Use a little wine because of your stomach and your frequent illnesses. Wine was extremely medicinal in the time of Timothy. So what we know before we do anything else and talk about healing is that medicine is a good thing. Medicine is not a bad thing. Now, I'm not saying people haven't over-medicated. I'm not saying that every single medicine is perfect. I'm not saying that every preventative shot is brilliant, wise, or even remotely smart. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is this. 1 Timothy 5:23 makes it absolutely clear that Timothy needed to use a little wine for his often infirmities. In this case, wine is being used as a medicine. It's like, well, okay. And understanding James chapter 1, verse 17, every good and perfect gift is from above. If it's something that can bless humanity, if it's something that can help humanity, if it's something that turns out to be something that helps us overcome and get through, that's great. That's not bad. And I will say, and I would say this a little bit. See, I'm more Baptist than Pentecostal, okay? That's the truth. But I'm pretty Pentecostal and charismatic too. So, I mean, I'm not – and I think it's a little disingenuous for people to criticize Oral Roberts trying to pray for people when at the same time the guy built a hospital believing that the hospital part of it was equally important. And so for me, I understand. I don't like the way he raised money either. I mean, come on. But that's not the point. The point is this. He built a hospital because he knew that medicine was good. And he is often considered a faith healer of our time. Doesn't that tell you right there that he understood the power of medicine? He understood the goodness of it? There are many medicines that are good. Now, the problem, of course, is drug abuse, something I was involved with. Misprescribing, or you know, sometimes you're wondering if they're throwing darts at things trying to figure stuff out. Yes, they are, in case you're wondering. That's why they practice medicine. They don't perfect it. But anyway, So the bottom line to that is this. Still, penicillin saved millions of lives. Come on. How do you not think that was grace? And I'm not trying to promote penicillin. I'm trying to give you kind of an idea. It's like, no, we're blessed in that capacity. But not all illnesses can be fixed by medicine. Nothing wrong with trying medicine, okay? I have a little harder time with people who say, I'll never try medicine. I have a harder time with that. I'm not going to tell them what to do. It's their conscience between them and God. I wouldn't do that for me. I wouldn't do that for my kids. But there's times where it's beyond the scope of people and beyond the scope of man, and that's when we want to talk about the gift of healing. And so when we're talking about healing, we recognize the value of medicine and put nothing negative towards it, except abuses take place in everything and all over the planet. But when we come back, I want to get into the actual gift part of it. Okay, that's what we want. And that's because instead of just being weird about it, let's do this weird thing and be semi-mature about it. Well, I don't know about mature because I'm not mature, but semi-mature.
Emphasis on semi.
Semi. Good point there. Thank you very much. Take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey there, it's Amazing Jennifer, and I am helping out the David Spoon Experience. As you may know, I basically run the KAAM radio station.
Amazing!
And Dr. Dave is looking for a few good people to join and become representatives, ambassadors, and stewards of this here radio ministry. Now, you may be thinking, well, I'd love to get involved, but I'm not very qualified for ministerial positions. Well, the truth is that because you are a child of our Heavenly Father, that you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you seek to live by the power of the Holy Spirit, you have all you need to be a part of this ministry. But Jennifer, don't I need to be perfect? No. Just go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Click on the three lines at the top right of the website, and then click on the Ambassadors Initiative link. Just fill out the form, and we will reach out to you. But sorry, no parking tickets will be paid for you as an ambassador through this position. You are on your own with that.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
This is Ray Bentley.
Ray Bentley, the man, the myth, the legend, on the show.
I was going to say that about you.
It has been four years and 6 months and 29 days since you've been live on the David Spoon Experience.
Oh, man, finally, I'm sliding in under the tag home safe.
You are finally safe. Okay, and so I'll tell the entire audience real simple. After this interview, you can either blame Ray or you can bless Ray because it was his fault a year and a half ago on February 12th when he called me and said, you should be back on the radio.
You just point
to that guy. Okay. All right. First of all, Ray, I want to ask you a really important question to start everything off with. The time is yours. You determine how much time you've got. It's totally up to you. But I do want to just ask you this quick question. How you doing?
You know what? I am doing good. I'm doing great. I think these are exciting times. I feel like we're in an acceleration of things happening, of God moving, of kind of things that we thought about and imagined prophetically what it would look like. And it's like happening so much so fast with such acceleration. I'm like, I can't hardly keep up with it all. It's a great hour to look up and to encourage one another. You know, I do realize there's lots of challenges, and these are trying times, but out of the worst of times come the best of times.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. I love hearing Ray. Anytime he's on, he's just, you know, I'm just trying to be honest, okay? I'm jealous and I'm sad at the same time. It's just like I miss him. But, you know, then at the same time, you know, I mean, I would never want to take away from him how awesome it is for what he's going through right now, because he's probably down there, you know, laughing. Anyway, that's not the point. Oh, they're laughing at us. Okay, got another trivia question. We do have somebody calling in prior, and so I want to give them a chance. I don't know if it's going to be something that will flow into this or we'll just go back into the teaching and into the trivia question. So I'm going to give Dynamite D. You got to give them that chance to kind of listen to what people are asking and how they respond and so on and so forth. But I do have the trivia question, so get ready for that. And there will be a hint. One of these hints is not necessarily a godly or godless hint. But before we get to that, we are going to have somebody who's calling and wants to ask or talk or say, or maybe they have the actual invention for really good apple pie. All right, send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Curtis, David.
Hello, Curtis. How are you?
I'm pretty good, my friend. I'm a first-time caller, and I just wanted to tell you, man, I drive around Dallas a lot. I deliver aircraft parts, and I always try to catch your show if I'm in the truck, you know, at that time of day, and I absolutely love your show. It's been a big blessing in my life, and I just wanted to call and thank you guys so much for all the spiritual healing that I get when I'm driving down the road.
Well, that is awesome, brother. I so appreciate that. I would only encourage you not to close your eyes while you're driving, but that's a joke. And then,
Hey, David, speaking of jokes, I got a quick one for you.
Fire away. Go ahead.
A little boy walks into church one morning before the first service, and he's standing there in the entryway, and he notices this picture on the wall. It's a plaque with all these people's faces, you know, and little crosses, you know, under each face. And so he asked the preacher, he says, what is that picture? And the preacher says, well, that picture commemorates people that have died in the service. The little boy scratches his head and he says, well, did they die at the 9 o'clock service or the 11 o'clock service?
All right.
Anyway.
That's a 9-5 right there. That's a pretty good one right there, man. Good job. Excellent joke. Anyway, very, very good.
I, you guys are a blessing. I just want to call and say love the show. I love you guys, and I hope you have a very blessed, amazing day today, my friends.
Thank you. God bless you for that, and I appreciate that.
Yes, sir, David. Take care, buddy.
Bye-bye. We love that. That's so much. That's so cool. Right?
That blessed me. I told him when I was taking a call that that really blessed me, and he had a little joke for you too. So hey, we're thankful for that.
Yeah, we are. And I wanted to let you know. So Dynamite D is praised for new callers on a regular basis. That doesn't mean the other people who are
and we love our old callers.
Everybody can call. Okay, we got plenty of time. Believe me, if I have to move this thing to 2 hours, I will. Don't worry about it. I have very little reservation for stepping out of the boat. Which is good and bad. It has its moments. All right, let me do the trivia question. Excellent call, by the way, so thank you so much, brother. We appreciate that. Here's your trivia question. Like I said, I'm going to give you the trivia question. The clue is not necessarily godly or ungodly, but you'll understand when I say it. Here we go. Which book starts with, now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim. Ramathaim. I can never say that word right. It's just one of those words I just...
A little tricky.
Yeah. Okay. Which book in the Old Testament starts, there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim? Before you answer, I'm going to give you two hints. Number one, it's the same name as a founding father. And number two, it is a beer that is often sold. And you better not be thinking, you know, something that's on the boycott list or something, okay? Don't be thinking that. So you got to think. And don't get upset if I use it. I'm trying to come up with hints for you. I mean, what book? So you know it's history. So in history, what book in history in the Old Testament has the similar name to a founding father? Okay, there you go. Okay. And your last hint there might be Gomez. Let's see if you guys can figure that out. Gomez. Okay, that's all I'm giving you. Poor D is
that's
just looking
at
me like, what are you talking? I didn't say it would be easy. L gives us the first answer that's incorrect, but hilarious. We'll just leave that there. 972-445-0770. That didn't say it'd be easy.
I got it, Dave.
Oh, you figure it out? Okay, 214-210-8483. Abraham got it first, and then David@HeMustIncrease.org. Abraham's going to get the pow-pow on this one. So you got to think, what book in the Old Testament's got a similar name to a founding father? It is also a beer. Come on. Now somebody's calling in. You can't say that. Want a bet? Okay. That's why I pay for it. That's just, we can do that. I'm going to give somebody a chance to, as long as they're not going to, you know, crucify us for that. It's pretty funny if you think about it. Yep, they're ready. Send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David. This is Curtis again, my brother. Is the answer Samuel?
Yes, it is! Good job, Curtis!
I got lucky on that one. I'm not going to tell you how I came up with the answer, but I think the beer hint had a little bit to do with it.
Samuel Adams, and then Samuel Adams beer, and it was Samuel.
And then, of course, and then Gomez. I was like, oh, yeah, I know what he's talking about now.
Gomez Adams. Good job, brother. Excellent work. Excellent, excellent follow-up call.
Thank you, David.
All right, God bless you. Bye-bye. Oh, that was great. Okay. See, now sometimes we do that. That's a little crazy. Now, the one after this is going to be harder, okay? I'm just telling you right now. Going to be harder. The last two are both Old Testament, going to be harder. And they don't, I don't have the good hints because I'm one of these. I absolutely spent 5 minutes going, I cannot think of a hint.
We're going to have to bring out the horn on that one.
Yeah, well, this is going to be a little tougher. All right, let me go back into the teaching because I know that's something that we need to stay connected to. And that is simply this. When we're talking about healing, sometimes people get overdramatic and overexcited. I don't like the shows either. Okay, so you don't have to tell me, hey, some people, they make a show of it. Yeah, they do. I don't like that either. I'm not for that. I am for what the scripture teaches. I am for people getting prayer in church because that is specifically what the scriptures say. But let's just, you know, break it down to maybe a little bit more simple understanding. The definition for healing is the Greek word therapia. Therapia, which means where we do get the word therapy, by the way. It means to relieve, to serve, to make whole, and to save. So healing is manifested when God, based on his love, cures illness and restores health, normally apart from the use of natural means. That doesn't mean medicine's bad. It just means God goes past that and says, here, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to heal people. I'm going to do this wonderful thing here. 1 Corinthians makes it very clear that the gift of healing is called the gifts of healing. Now, what does that mean? That means it's plural. You think, well, how could the gift of healing be plural? Because healing can be physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, any of those. So some people need, and if you think that's a joke, I think most of you already know that ain't a joke. Most of us need healing that's internal, that has to do with our emotional set. It may be connected to the mental set, but it's part of the whole process of the inner person. Some people need physical healing. Those are two different kinds of healings. Sometimes the mental and emotional produces problems for the physical. Yeah, I know. I don't understand the whole thing. Do you understand the entire body perfectly? Wow, you're amazing. I don't. But here's what I do get. What I get is God heals people at all points. And what we don't think of is we don't think of pain, emotional pain, as something that can be healed. We're wrong. It absolutely is something that can be healed. And what happens is people don't think in those terms, because what happens when you hear the phrase healing, you think, yep, it's a prayer line. People are falling left and right. You know, they're making music. They're passing a hat. You know, there's lights on, there's a poster or something or whatever. That's not what it is, okay? So that you can understand how important healing is, okay? So that you and I can walk in it. It is supposed to be a part of the structure of the church. People are like, what? Well, I'm not the one that did this. But it does say in James 5:16, confess your sins to each other, pray for each other so that you may be healed. I didn't write that. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. What does it say for, what does it call on the elders of the church to do when somebody is sick? What are they supposed to do? Are they supposed to just say, well, just be sick? Aren't the elders of the church supposed to anoint people with oil and pray for the sick? And the prayer of faith will heal them? That's a part of the church structure. And so what we've done is we've relegated it to special events, right? I mean, I think most people acknowledge, oh, yeah, we kind of have done that. Guess what? That's not what it's supposed to be. In fact, my bigger concern is that churches that function, and they do this, by the way, and they function and they don't have any prayer for, like, while the ministry is going on and the pastor finishes the sermon or whatever, and then it's just everybody go home. Well, the majority of churches in life today are wise enough to say, if you need prayer, we got people up here to pray for you. That's what that's supposed to be. That's the function of that. And that's supposed to be, by the way, a regular, normal, continual function of the church. Otherwise, just take the book of James and throw it out. What? You can't throw out the book of James. Right, then you can't throw out praying for one another and asking for God to heal people as part of the church process. Can't do it, right?
And that's so important, Dave, that mental and that emotional side. I mean, you can overlook that, but many people struggle with that. And the thing with that is most people on the outside can't see it. You can see somebody's physically sick, but when they're battling in that mind area, sometimes you don't know it.
You know, that's – and you guys have heard me talk about this, about the lady who had the issue of blood. So she had an issue of blood. It's a physical problem. But what is it that Jesus did? He calls her up, right? I mean, you can't deny he calls her up. He literally tells the crowd, yeah, she got an issue of blood, but you're healed, right? He socially healed her right then and there in front of all those people. Can you imagine the emotional stigma that she was going through, knowing that she was unclean and couldn't touch and couldn't do? And Jesus not just physically healed her, but reintroduced her into society. God does, he does all of that. We don't do that. He does that. All right. Now, there's so much to cover, and you know I won't be able to cover it all, but I'll do my best. We're going to take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. Can't stand the
skill, can't stand the shame. Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. Cowpunchsites.com/dad.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Am I not saved? Am I saved one day? I'm not saved the next day? Am I kind of saved? Am I kind of not saved? How come I don't feel saved? I feel saved. Now I don't feel saved. And why are tacos going up? Those are the questions you're asking. Okay, so the horses go on these races. The Preakness, the Kentucky Derby, and the Belmont Stakes. If they win, they get to then race in the Triple Crown. And what the Triple Crown is, for those that don't know, it's the first horse to Jack in the Box.
The David Spoon Experience.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I have wondered about him. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He's married to his best friend Noel, has 3 children, 6 grandchildren, and a dog named Bert. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations and is a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theological studies, and has his PhD. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people will have to listen to find out.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, getting ready for our trivia question. And then after the trivia question, we're going to send you to the website. So we're going to, we'll play the horn, but play it light for this next trivia question. Go ahead. Okay, which book starts with, now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus, which is also Xerxes, that as Ahasuerus had reigned from India even unto Ethiopia over 127 provinces. Now, which book starts with that? Here's your hint. It's in the poetries. Is it in the poetries? No, it's not in the poetries. Sorry, take that back. It's not in the poetries. It's in the history. Which book starts with, came to pass? Now remember Xerxes, okay? Xerxes, okay. All right. See, Joanne and Cordelia picked up on that one. All right. It says, now it came to pass in the days of Xerxes that he reigned from India even to Ethiopia over 127 provinces. And the reason is because Xerxes and Ahasuerus are the same. And so they kind of, they blend. Don't get mad at me. It's like John, Mark, and Mark. Same thing. We do have somebody who's ready to answer the trivia question. We're going to give them that chance to do so. It's a tough question. Go ahead. Send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Knock, knock, David. It's Jay. 3 times in 2 days.
All right. Good for you, brother. There's nothing wrong with that. I love it.
I think I may be wrong here, but I think it's Ezra.
Okay. Say it again.
I think it's Ezra.
Okay. You got the right first letter, okay, the E
Ezekiel
part, but you got to go backwards the other way. Who's female.
Esther, no.
That's it, yeah, Esther, you got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Three tries. How many E's are there in the Bible? I love you, David.
It's Esther. Great job, though. You were there. You knew where it was going, so you got there right away. That's all that matters. That's what
matters. Thank you for all that you do. The Lord smiles on you and blesses us because of you.
Oh, thank you, brother. I appreciate you. God bless. Bye-bye. All right, so it was Esther. Now, that was a hard one, and the reason is because I kept thinking, what's a good hint? And it was like, and what's worse is the next one after this trivia question, that's that. I don't have a lot of great
drawing a few
that
blanks on the hint.
Yeah, see, I mean, if it's Baby Ruth, or, you know, if it's a Baby Ruth bar and it's Ruth, it's like Esther is like, because what's connected to Esther? Mordecai. If I say that, you're going to know. You see, I could have said Purim, but then that would have been giving away a lot. See, I can't. There's only so much I can give away, folks. Let's do this, though. We are going to send you up to the website, okay? So that's still important to do. Keep in touch on the website. We've got the interviews. You have the opportunity to give. Plus, if you have any questions, seriously, if you've got a question, I had a couple of people reach out to me wanting to get certain books. And so I don't unrecommend or over-recommend. Outside of the Bible, that's the only one I always recommend. But there's some really good material depending on what you're looking for theologically. I just happen to know the different genres. It's kind of fun. So if you have any of those kind of questions or anything like that, you can also reach out through the website. Plus, you can give there. Check out HeMustIncrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
Okay, are there any questions? Yes.
Where's the basement?
Excuse me?
Aren't we going to see the basement?
There's no basement at the Alamo.
That is such genius. You have to know where that's from, and I'm not going to say, but you have to know where that's from to realize how funny that is.
I like it. I think Jennifer putting that in there.
Yeah, it's just brilliant. Jennifer gets 10 bonus points for that. There's no basement at the Alamo. Okay. Here we go. We're going to do history in the next segment because the history actually has a joke in it. How's that? So combining two and one. But in the meantime, that's not too shabby. All right, let me go back to this one thing in James. And I want to point this out to you because I don't think I did a very good job explaining it. Good enough. Let me just say it real quickly. So we're talking about healing. We're talking about the process. We're trying to get this out of this super-duper sensational time. It does not mean that prayer meetings that have healings are bad. I think that that's kind of silly. And if you get together for that purpose, and they used to do it more in the tent process, some of that was fine. I mean, Billy Graham started off in a tent. Nobody seemed to mind that. So it's like part of that process. Process is fine. But what I want to do is make it more normal for the church. When James 5, 14 and 15 says this is where it comes into play. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. That it makes it exceedingly clear that prayer for healing is a part of the function of the church. If the church were to be a little higher in faith and actually did believe that praying for people to be healed was something that was effective and genuine, you would find out that more people would flock to the church, much like they flocked to Jesus, right? I mean, that's just a truth. The problem there is that sometimes when these kind of things happen, there's more of a self-aggrandizement than there is a glorification of the Lord. Therein lies the big problem. So I want to read this one portion and make sure you understand it, and then the last portion we're going to deal with is we'll have to do with spiritual warfare. But listen to this portion that makes it pretty clear as to where our position is in the healing process. This is from Acts chapter 3, verse 11 through 16. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong." Now listen. "It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see." This text in Acts 3:11 through 16 takes the power away from every person. If it's a genuine healing from God, God did it. If God did it, it was to glorify the name of Jesus Christ. So Peter is like, okay, first of all, the guy didn't get healed because we're righteous or holy. The guy didn't get healed because of our power or our wit or our wisdom. He got healed because God said, healing him. And that's how it goes. And so what happens is people are like, well, why doesn't somebody who has the gift of healing, why don't they go into a hospital? Because Jesus didn't go into a hospital. He healed one guy at a hospital one time. And everywhere else, he healed people as he journeyed. So that whole theory and that whole thinking, that's wrong. And then also wrong, I know people are going to get mad at me for doing this, also wrong is the idea that people should always get healed every time. It's like, not only does it not say that, it actually says the opposite of that in Scripture. Trophimus have I left in my lead him sick. Paul said, I left that guy there sick because he was sick. If somebody understood the gift of healing, I'm going to go, Paul had some of it. Right? He had some knowledge of it. He's like, yeah, that guy had to stay there. Why? Because God doesn't heal in every situation. Why? That's God's decision. And people go, that's just a lack of faith. No, that's a lack of submission to the will of God. And you're thinking, well, Elisha died. He was popped off in a grave, a dead guy gets thrown into the same grave. He touches Elisha's bones. The guy resurrects from the dead. That was all God. This is like, just let that. Why would you even touch that? It's up to him. The question is, why don't we pray for people to get healed? And the answer is, well, not everybody's going to get healed. Well, not everybody gets saved, but you're witnessing, aren't you? And you don't know who is and isn't. So what I'm trying to do is put this where it goes. This is on the Lord. But what the Lord is looking for in you and I are willing vessels. You know, you might pray for somebody and nothing might happen. But you know what you might do that you don't even realize? I'm going to tell you this. I want to be brutally honest, okay? You might show them you care. Wow. What's the evil that comes from showing somebody that you care? Do you see how bizarre we can make it? It's like, well, let's not do that, okay? Does everybody get healed every time you pray? No. Do people still get healed? Of course people still get healed. People get healed just by being born again. They've just got healed spiritually. They've become alive again. It's a resurrection. You can't get much more spiritual miraculous than that. Of course that stuff's happening. Though, is it happening the way it did? I don't think that people now were as connected and close to Jesus as then. But, you know, there's arguments there. You can fight it. But some people, I think, of necessity get into a situation. I've been in a situation, very short period of time, where everything was flowing. That's all I can say. Everything was happening. Lasted probably a month. I've been a Christian for 45 years. Lasted a month. Don't tell me. It's like, I know what happened. I know what happened when the person walked in and God gave me a picture of them and I said the picture and the person falls down on the ground and starts crying and I'm like going, what is going on? I didn't know what was going on. God knew what was going on. Cool. And what happened the following week? Nothing. That's what happened. Why? Because he's sovereign. Let it all, what? Why do you have to? We're always trying to control God, I swear. Here's a nice box. You can fit in this. That way you'll be like our genie who comes out whenever we tell you. Oh, okay. Sorry, got a little sarcastic there. It does happen. I apologize. Well, only kind of. All right, we're going to take our break, and then we're going to come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's been my privilege in my past. I've been a Christian for a short time, only about 40 years. But when I was in my first year, I had a chance to meet James Robeson, who had a chance to pray for my brother and myself. Very helpful at a very needful time as we were fighting our way out of a Christian cult. And he prayed for clarity. And it was just a pastor's gathering in Phoenix, Arizona. And I have the privilege again of interviewing one of what I consider to be one of the great men of God who are still with us on this planet. And I just want to give a wholehearted welcome and open door and open heart to James Robeson. Thank you, sir, for being a part of our show and a part of our audience.
Well, David, it's a pleasure to join with you, and I'm grateful that praying together was meaningful to you and a very important part and point in your life. So just joy to be with you and your listeners. Now, David, can I just download what I believe is the heart of our Heavenly Father to your listeners for a few minutes?
Yes, please, by all means.
When I spoke to the leaders before the election, and I talked about the need, this is in Washington, there were nearly 2,000 pastors and church leaders there. And I said, I'm telling you, there are people right now who are being captivated by the Jesus they see in some of our lives. And I said, listen to me. We have a fatherless nation, desperately in need of a father. If we, as believers, as Christians, who have the perfect Father, if we would show people clearly what the family of the perfect Father looks like, I believe the fatherless would run to the father and the father's house. And I believe that. I said that to the President of the United States. I said, sir, your children say you're a good father. Eric Trump happened to be sitting by me when I first said that. Eric said, he's a great father. I said, well, he may be, but that doesn't mean he's flawless. I do believe that we need a father, and I believe we can pray and God can raise up people that have a father's heart. And so I began to emphasize the church revealing what the Father's like. Now, listen to me. We as believers comprise the body of Christ, the body of born-again, baptized into Christ believers who are born from above. We have a perfect Heavenly Father who reveals His will. He's not willing that any should perish. He said, you call on me, and I'll heal your land. Now, listen to me. Christian believers, we're not looking for a champion. We've got one. He's the only one that rides the white horse. We're not looking for a king. We have a king. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that's Jesus. He holds kings in his hand. Our king, our shepherd, our father said, come to me as my family, and you ask me to heal your land in desperate need of healing. You come in humility. You come knowing I'm the only one that can heal, and I can use imperfect vessels to accomplish my perfect will. I always have. I always will.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. I just like today's show. That was a good show, right?
Okay. Fun show, too.
Fun show. Do we have somebody call in that wanted a pizza or something? Is that what happened? Or did you get to that later?
Oh, okay. That was Deborah. She was giving a little hint on the for Esther.
Esther? Yeah. See, tell me about that later. Okay. I need to have that in my repertoire. All right. Here you go. Here's your last trivia question. The answer is one of the major prophets. Therefore, major prophets. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. Therefore, you have a 1 in 4 chance. Okay. Now, I'm only going to give you one hint, so here we go. Which book starts with, how doth the city sit solitary that was full of people? All right, which book would that be All right. If you can't get that, I can't help you. Now remember, there's 5 books with 4 authors. So make sure you remember that, right? How doth the city sit solitary that was full of people?
It's okay. A pretty nice hint.
Okay, that's just the best I could on that one. See if you guys can pick that up. That's just kind of extra little hint there. If you think you know, 972-445-0775. You can also text 214-210-8483 or david@hemustincrease.org. So remember, it's one of the 5 books, even though there's 4 prophets. Okay, so can't do any more clearer than that. Let's do history, please. All right, so there's only a couple things I want to do in history, but one of them is a joke, and I have to do it. So for those that do not know, today, on this day, so May 31st, 1927, the last Ford Model T was manufactured out of 15 million cars. Today was the day the very last one was rolled off the assembly.
Oh, wow.
That's like wowzer. 1884, on this day, John Harvey Kellogg patented cornflakes.
Pretty good invention for him.
That's not bad. 1990 on this date, first episode of Seinfeld airs on TV. I understand most people have a real hard time with that. I think there's many funny Jewish things in there, so I happen to like that. Sorry. National Smile Day. Okay. And then here's the last one, World Parrot Day. And the reason that I told you that is because I'm going to tell you the parrot joke. Are you ready? All right. It's very simple. A lady has a parrot. And the parrot only knows how to say, "Who is it?" That's all the parrot knows. Who is it? And so everything's going fine. The lady has a break in her line in her kitchen. She calls the plumber. And then all of a sudden she gets an emergency phone call from the school that her daughter's at. And she jumps in and she fires off to the school. The plumber comes to the house, knocks on the door. The bird goes, "Who is it?" The plumber goes, "It's the plumber. You just called me." Knocks on the door again. The bird goes, "Who is it?" The plumber goes, "It's the plumber. You just called me." Knocks on the door again. The bird goes, "Who is it?" The guy goes, "It's the plumber. How can you not know it's the plumber? It's the plumber." The guy falls over, has a heart attack, falls down. The mom comes home, opens the door, sees the plumber, and she goes, "Oh, my gosh, who is it?" And the bird goes, "It's the plumber."
Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jewish God. Ah!
Come on.
Tom Cruise.
That's funny. It's the plumber. See, the one time. Okay. It's the plumber. All right. Nobody's gotten the answer right on the trivia so far. Just letting everybody know. So you better double check it. Okay. Just really can't do it any clearer. How doth the city sit solitary that was full of people? if you think you know the answer, you have a very short window, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Last thing I want to say about the healing, you know, we can go into this super, super deep, but I didn't want to do that today. I did want to make sure you understood this one thing about healing that a lot of people miss, okay? And this is an important part. Luke chapter 13, verse 10 through 17. And I want anybody that's got a Bible, pick it up and look at it so you can see where we're going with this. Really important. Luke 13, 10 through 17. Al finally got it. Good job, Al. On the Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten it up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her. So that's the laying on of the hands. And immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." I just want to point this out real fast. What a killjoy that guy was. What? He's not even, he doesn't even care that somebody got healed. All right, anyway, verse 15. The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, don't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her. When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. Jesus specifically identified this woman's affliction as demonic, cast the spirit out, and it attributed the authorship to Satan. You can give me all your ups and downs. You can fight all day long. This is exactly what it is. And oh, by the way, 18 years. So don't tell me you can't have a long-term struggle that necessitates, well, I've had it for 20 years, Dave, so I doubt it's a demon. That doesn't mean it's not a demonic inspired. That doesn't mean that at all. But what we need to see clearly is that spiritual warfare is a part of the process of healing. And when we're praying for healing, you need to recognize that if Satan can keep a person unwell, unwhole, if Satan can keep a person bound, then they cannot have the freedom to serve. You can't get away from this. So if by his stripes we are healed, then that has to apply, and certainly it has its primary content understanding in the healing of our sins and in our separation from God. But it doesn't mean that God can't heal. And it's the blood of Jesus and the stripes of Jesus and the power of Jesus and the authority of Jesus that enables that. And yet Satan is being the one that's attributed to being the cause of this problem. It's spiritual warfare, too. That is sometimes why it doesn't just disappear. That's why persistence is important. That's why tenacious attitudes are important. Submissive, but tenacious, right? That is spiritual warfare attitude. You just can't, okay. Let's go on to the next subject. There's nothing really else to say. In regards to the trivia question, for those that could not figure that out, how doth the city sit solitary that was full of people? Lamentations. That's why I was going, boo.
That was pretty hard.
Yeah, that was a tough one. All right. All right, fun show. Hope you guys got something out of it. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. Taking a 22.5-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.